Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church.
Good morning.
I'm really happy to see
Reverend Moore.
No, stop. Thank you. You're all making me blush. I have a few announcements for you this morning. First and foremost, thank you so much for everything you did last week and leading up to last week that made the ordination so very special. I've had so many compliments from non-Glenshaw Valley folks who have just said how hospitable you are, how beautiful the church is, and just how much they loved it. And I said, well, that's why I'm there. But it meant so much to me to have you there. So thank you. I really appreciate it. I've also gotten questions about how do you address me now? You can call me Kristen. I'm still the same person. If you want to call me Pastor Kristen, you can. If you're introducing me to somebody and you want to give a little context, you can call me Pastor Kristen. Reverend is fine as well. Kristen is just fine. I also have some sad news to share. Verna Milbert passed earlier last week, and it's just a very sad loss for all of us. You can visit the family at Kuiper Funeral Home across from Mount Royal on Monday, tomorrow, from 2 to 4 and from 6 to 8. And there will also be a short funeral service at the Mount Royal Chapel and a celebration of Verna's life following that at Sunny Jim's on Tuesday. Tuesday at 11 is the funeral service. With that being said, also please let me or Allison in the office know if you or someone in your family or close to you is in the hospital or needs a visit or a call or something like that. I can't pray extra for you if I don't know you need it. We're getting close to Advent here. And Christmas, if you've been to any store recently, you know Christmas started like 3 weeks ago. That being said, we're going to be ordering poinsettias again. There's options of red, white, and pink, $7 each, and they're due, your orders are due by December 4th, back at the table in the narthex. And, you know, while you're signing up for poinsettias, you know, take a moment to sign up to take a turn as a greeter. And that would be fantastic to have your smiling faces be at the door to direct people as they come in. And finally, the food bank is still in need of donations. They're in need of cleaning supplies. And so we're still collecting those. Stewardship Sunday coming up. Is that the 20th, Arlie? Yeah, Stewardship Sunday is the 20th of November. Yeah, that's also coming up real quick. And we'll have a luncheon after church.
Just the food.
Yes, food. There's lots of food. after church on the 20th. That will be a good time. Are there any announcements? Anything else that I missed? No? All right. With that, let us gather together and proclaim our readiness to worship God with our call to worship. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. We glorify our God with songs of thanksgiving and joy. God has done great things for us, filling us with grace. God fed our ancestors in the wilderness. God clothes us with hope. We will offer our hearts to God, always saying thank you to the one who loves us. We will sing our praises, shouting God's presence in our lives. Please rise in body or spirit and join in our opening hymn, This is My Father's World. Let us join together in confessing our sins as an offering of our trust in God's love and forgiveness for us. Because we live in this modern, tech-driven, twittering age, we often forget what you have done for us, God of every blessing. We pat ourselves on the back for ability to learn new computer skills, but have forgotten that life is more than a machine. We have more than we could ever use, yet, like squirrels, store up more and more. Our faith is often pushed to the back of the closet to make room for all the fears we wear so easily. Forgive us, restorer of life. As you clothe us with your grace and mercy, may we share with those who have so little. As our hearts overflow with your love and wonder, may we offer them as gifts to everyone we meet. As you feed us with joy and hope, may we welcome to the table all those whose lives are filled with tears and pain. As we gather with family and friends during this season, may we continue to give thanks for the gift of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. This is the good news. As God dresses creation in wonder, so you will be clothed in grace. As God pours out abundance upon the earth, so you will be blessed with peace and joy. Thanks be to God for healing life, wonder, and mercy. We are blessed and we are forgiven.
To the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
Friends, let us gather together and profess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, from whence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Siblings, let us greet one another with signs of peace. A few people of the congregation that we should be praying for. I got a message from Jeannie Reinhardt yesterday. Her daughter Amy has been admitted to St. Margaret's. She's asking for prayers for direction of the hospital for the doctors and staff, as well as Amy's health and relief from pain. They're just having a hard time matching her symptoms with a diagnosis and coming up with an effective treatment plan. And she said, in other words, we just don't know exactly what's happening. Also, please pray, keep in your prayers Verna Milbert's family as they grieve her loss. Let's center ourselves and lift up our heart's desires and our soul's deep needs to God. Almighty God, maker of all, with joy we give thanks for all your goodness. We praise you for the love which has created and sustained us to this day, and for the gift of your Christ, who brings us into covenant with you and with all of your people of faith. Help us to treasure your gifts and to show our thankfulness by lives wholly given to your service. We pray for your church, whom you have redeemed by the sacrifice of Jesus. Give it pastors and ministers filled with your spirit and strength to serve by the guidance of your word. Perfect it in love and in compassion, and establish it in the faith of your servants. Unite all your people that one holy church may bear witness to you and your glory. In the dry times of life, O God, as well as the fresh summer mornings, your Spirit comes to us with soul-quenching refreshment. Our longings for your help grow languid and tiresome in those harsher days, and we seek your strength to remind us again and again to trust in you, to drink deeply of the life you give, and to keep our hope keenly focused on the future that you have promised. Yours is a future of a world made right, bodies made whole, relationships healed, abiding peace and justice. Help us to seek it, to pray for it, to work for it, even as we pray those troubles close to home and far away, which burden our hearts today. We pray for those whose lives are endangered by war and unrest, those who struggle for justice, and those who seek after peace. We especially pray for Ukraine and Iran. We pray for the suffering, the imprisoned, the hungry, homeless, poor. We pray for the sick and those who tend to their needs. Please hear all of our prayers, gracious God, for those that we've named aloud and for those that we name in the silence of our hearts right now. Be near to us, Lord, and refresh our spirits as we gather again at your table. May we carry from this place sure faith and a confidence in your wellspring of goodness, made known to us in Jesus the Christ, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom,
and the power,
and the glory forever. Amen. Please rise in body or spirit to join in our hymn of meditation, What Shall I Render to the Lord?
I'm
Please be seated. You know the generous act of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor, so that by his poverty we might become rich, sisters and brothers. Let us give generously of our goods and lives in imitation of our Lord and Savior. God, who hears our prayers and answers them and gives us more than we can ask or imagine, accept these generous undertakings and use them to your glory, that even now we might imitate your coming reign of justice, peace, and love for the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
This morning's scripture reading comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 7 through 15. Now, as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in utmost eagerness, and in our love for you, so we want you to excel also in this generous undertaking. I do not say this as a command, but I am, by mentioning the eagerness of others, testing the genuineness of your love. For you know the generous act of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that by his poverty you might become rich. And in this matter, I am giving my opinion. It is beneficial for you who began last year not only to do something, but even to desire to do something. Now finish doing it, so that your eagerness may be matched by completing it according to your means. For if the eagerness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what one does not have. For I do not mean that there should be relief for others and hardship for you, but it is a question of equality between your present abundance and their need, so that their abundance may also supply your need, in order that there may be equality. As it is written, the one who had much did not have too much, and the one who had little did not have too little. Bless the word of the Lord.
Please pray with me. By the power of your Spirit, speak your word to us, O God. Show us who you are and who you are calling us to be. For the sake of your Son and Lord, Jesus Christ. Amen. There are very few things that make me as uncomfortable as asking people for money. So it was really surprising to me that when Session was talking about plans for Stewardship Sunday, my mouth opened up and I said, oh, I can do a series of sermons about stewardship throughout the month of November. And I was like, what did I just say? How did that happen? Here's the thing, though. I think stewardship gets a really bad rap. And I think that's because there are a lot of preachers and churches that make it all about money. And they try to guilt us into pledging. and to giving. And that's not really how I understand stewardship. Yeah, money is important. Maintaining this building, serving the community, it's not free. But there's a lot more involved than cash. And I'm happy to explain why stewardship is important to me. I'm also not about to make anyone else feel guilty for making decisions that are in their best interest. In this passage, Paul makes some compelling arguments for giving up our money and our time. He's appealing to the Corinthians to take up a collection in support of the poor saints of Jerusalem. And that's not saying that the folks in Jerusalem are more saintly than anyone else. It's just that's how Paul refers to Christians. He refers to all Christians as saints. Well, apparently, the Corinthians pledged to take up a collection like a year ago, and Paul hasn't seen a cent. So he needs to help the Corinthians understand what, why, and how they ought to give. A little confession here, when I was reading this, my inner Greek geek came out. There are so many really great Greek words in here. Eulogia, liturgia, koinonia, oikonomia. But the word that really does a lot of work in this passage is charis. It's a word that can mean a variety of things, but the general concept is grace, thanks, a favor. Paul knew the importance of this word, charis. He also knew how it could be used in a lot of different ways, and he uses it over and over in his letter. In this short passage, in just these, eight verses, he uses it three times. And I really like the way that I chose this translation, the New Revised Standard Version of the Bible. I really like the way that this translation presents the word charis to us as a generous undertaking. Now, Paul starts out by buttering up the Corinthians, telling them all the things that they're good at, that they're smart and talented, passionate, committed. I hope you don't think that I was just trying to butter you up last week. I genuinely did mean everything I meant, everything I said. But Paul is buttering up the Corinthians. He does still want to stretch them towards charis, a generous undertaking. He's not commanding them to give. He's not trying to create rivalry with the other congregations that, he just happens to mention have taken up collections for the Church of Jerusalem. But he wants them to know that the other less well-off congregations have given. And more importantly, he wants the Corinthians to know why those congregations have given. And it's because of the charis of Christ, the generous undertaking of Jesus, who became poor so that we could become rich. That's the gospel message. Like, in a nutshell, that's the gospel message. I think we know that Paul isn't talking about monetary wealth and poverty when he talks about Jesus becoming poor so that we can become rich. He's referencing how Jesus set aside all of his glorious splendor and joined himself to a broken humanity so that we could all rest in God's grace. How could we possibly not respond to such a generous undertaking? There's absolutely no way that I will ever be able to make enough money to repay Christ for my salvation. But Paul wasn't asking the Corinthians, nor am I asking you to impoverish yourselves or to live in poverty so that others can be wealthy. Your eagerness, your willingness to share, and your willingness to care for others, that's the greater point. Paul was asking for something much more manageable. He's asking the wealthy congregation of Corinth to give so that there's a fair balance between their abundance and the needs of the Jerusalem church. He's challenging the disparity between those two churches and inspiring the Corinthians to correct it. I think back to the earliest Christians, like in the book of Acts, where they're described as people who everyone sold all of their possessions and they distributed everything evenly amongst the community. They all lived together in a happy little commune, and there wasn't a single needy person in the group. Please don't think that I'm saying that we should live together in a commune and share everything. I love you all very much, but not that much. The point was that everyone took care of each other. Some people had extra money, some people had extra talents, some people had extra knowledge, and all of it was shared. And that was just in one location, but what Paul is trying to create is the same kind of dynamic among the various communities that he's founded. He's trying to get the Corinthians to think beyond their borders, beyond the walls of Glenshaw Valley, beyond the Pittsburgh Presbytery, beyond the borders of the United States. He wants us to think bigger, so that the needs of others can be met by our desire to give from our abundance. It's a generous undertaking. How we use our resources, our time, our money, our talents, even our attention, preaches a message of what we believe about God and God's actions in the world. So Paul wants the Corinthians and our actions to reflect the gospel that we believe. And that means engaging in and also accepting generous undertakings. Paul brings home the point by concluding his appeal to the Corinthians by thinking about getting them to think about how they how God redistributed the manna in the wilderness, like in Exodus. The one who had too much did not have too much, and the one who had little did not have too little. When they were gathering the manna in the wilderness, no one had too much. If they gathered too much, it rotted and went away. If they didn't gather enough, it still lasted them as long until there was more manna. Trusting that we can spare the extra that we have to support those who don't have enough, man, that can be really difficult. Because I don't know if I ever actually have enough. But God does support our generous undertakings. I also know a lot of people think that it doesn't count as giving if you can't give a lot. That what they have to offer is a pittance compared to what other people can give. So why even bother? But what Paul's saying, and what I'm here to tell you, is that excellence in stewardship isn't about giving enough to have a new building named after you. It's not about starving yourself or living in a shack so others can eat caviar and live in mansions. Stewardship, tithing, generous undertakings are all about your eagerness to express gratitude to the God who provides for all of our needs. It's also about the genuine love for our brothers and sisters in Christ. It's taking the abundance that you've been blessed with and blessing others so that they can bless others. Stewardship is about this unbreakable chain of generous undertakings that all began with our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen. Please rise in body or spirit for our communion hymn, Bread of Life from Heaven.
Able to follow along. If you're not, just look at your neighbor Or just don't say anything. Jesus still loves you. And he's here. All right. Friends, this is the joyful feast of the people of God. They will come from east and west and north and south and sit at table with the kingdom of God. According to Luke, when our risen Lord was at table with his disciples, he took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him. This is not Glenshaw Valley's table. This is not a Presbyterian table. This is the Lord's table, and our Savior invites all those who trust in him to share the feast which he has prepared. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is truly right and our greatest joy to give you thanks and praise, O Lord. Our God, creator and ruler of the universe, in your wisdom you made all things and sustained them by your power. Therefore we praise you, joining our voices with the prophets, apostles, and martyrs, and with all the faithful of every time and place who forever say to the glory of your name, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Remembering your gracious acts in Jesus Christ, we take from your creation this bread and this wine, and joyfully celebrate his dying and rising as we await the day of his coming. With thanksgiving, we offer our very selves to you to be a living and holy sacrifice dedicated to your service. Great is the mystery of your faith. Of faith. Christ is God.
Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
Gracious God, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us and upon these your gifts of bread and wine, that the bread we break and the cup we bless may be the communion of the body and the blood of Christ. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, that we may be one with all who share in this feast, united in ministry in every place. As this bread is Christ's body for us, send us out to be the body of Christ in the world. The Lord Jesus, on the night of his arrest, took bread, and after giving thanks to God, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant. This cup is the new covenant sealed in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this in remembrance of me." Every time you eat this bread or drink of this cup, you proclaim the saving death of the risen Lord until he comes. The gifts of God for the people of God.
Thank you.
the blood of Christ shed for you.
Loving God, we thank you that you have fed us in the sacrament, united us with Christ, and given us a foretaste of the heavenly banquet in your eternal kingdom. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory for the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Please rise as you're able and join in our closing hymn, I'm going to live so God can use me. Sisters and brothers, the Holy One has created you for good. Delight in God, work for justice, and walk in peace. May the blessing of God, who creates, reforms, and restores, be with you all, now and always. Amen.